You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. Your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello! Welcome into the StarCast Zuckermark Studios. This is Ryan, and we are the official Dallas Stars podcast of the Hockey Podcast Network. We're brought to you by DraftKings. Use that promo code THPN the next time you go and use their app for a special little offer from DraftKings. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you. We'd really appreciate that if you do that. Without further ado, because I think we're both really excited to talk about this game, Chris. Oh my gosh, fantastic. Before we get into anything, how about that? What did he call it? He called it highway larceny or felony larceny at the end there. Oh my gosh, Holtby.
That was crazy.
No way that doesn't go in the net.
If y'all didn't know, the Stars won. The Stars win. 4-1 against the Carolina Hurricanes, one of the better teams in the East.
Sorry, I'm too excited right now. It's freaking awesome.
And we extend our win streak to 5 games now.
That's correct.
That's 5 and 7 six at and home. 8.
6 straight at home.
6 straight at home as well. And during the 5-game win streak, I just saw this tweet by Bruce Levine. We have not trailed in the 5-game win streak. Not once. And in the last 3 games, we've scored within the first 2 minutes. So Stars are on fire right now. It is crazy.
Which leads to Stars Media calling the Hens line the Minutemen line. And
I like
if
it.
They continue, I like it too. And if they continue to do that, then it fits perfectly. So we'll have to see if that continues for that line. Obviously, coming into this game, lots of storylines, interesting storylines. Bonus, as much as we give him crap and we question his decisions and stuff like that, he's still a good guy at the end of the day, so we got to give him credit. 2,500 games in his NHL career as a coach, whether that be as an assistant or as a head coach. So amazing for him to get that milestone there.
And not even he's just a good guy. He proved us wrong tonight. I mean, in our group chat, we were all upset that he was playing Holtby instead of Ottinger. But, I mean, obviously, the correct decision.
Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah. So I'm not convinced Ottinger would have done bad, but I mean, Holtby had an amazing night. The best game he's played as a Star by far. He was just stunning. He should have had the shutout. It's so sad.
And the other milestone that was hit tonight was obviously Braden Holtby's 500th appearance as a starter and goal in the NHL. So that's another big thing for us to talk about. So on 2 really big milestone days, a great story comes out of it. And we haven't even talked about Roope Hintz yet, and we'll get to him here in a little bit.
His first career hat trick is overshadowed. Are you kidding me? That's so crazy.
I didn't think it was going to be overshadowed until Braden Holtby made that did not make any sense. I still don't understand how that didn't go in. But
I mean, that's got to be save of the year, right?
It has to be. It saves of the year.
Yeah, when they're that close together, it counts as one, I feel like, and that's got to be it. I mean, I can't think of something being better than that. That's insane.
So, so what's your biggest takeaway coming out of this game? Just original thoughts. I know there's Ropa Hintz. I know there's Braden Holtby, but what else like stands out to you tonight?
My biggest overall takeaway is that the Stars did not play good, and we still won. And I think that's really the sign of a good team when we don't have our best stuff, obviously. The only line that was really going tonight was the Minutemen, Pavelski, Robertson, and Ropa. Can't remember the guy who scored the hat trick's name.
Yeah, but he doesn't matter, you know.
But they were the only guys really going tonight, and we figured out a way to win with that being the only line that was going. And most of the time, that's a bad thing, but when you're already on a four-game win streak, like, we'll take a win. So they didn't have their stuff, and they found a way to win. That's my biggest takeaway.
So, you know, I was kind of being a little pessimistic on Twitter during the second period when it was still just 1-0.
It was a bad period.
Yeah, right. And I was just like, you know, if we keep playing like this, we're not going to win this game. I mean, it's Carolina. I mean, Carolina can score goals.
Boy, were you wrong.
But yeah, that's exactly what I put. After Ropa scored that second goal, I kind of put, you know, we really need to see some secondary scoring from some of these other guys. And then as soon as I tweeted that, Ropa got his second goal, and I'm like, nope, never mind. Ropa can just score for us all the time. That's okay, too.
Yeah. So, and I mean, we think that's, like, okay, it is a bad thing. It's not great, especially for the Stars. We can see how cold their goal scoring can get. But for other great teams, like, that's not really an oddity. Like, you think of Edmonton, literally only two guys on the team score goals. You think of Colorado, their top line is pretty much the only one scoring goals. You think of even the Capitals, Ovechkin is the only one doing anything over there. So it's not super abnormal for the top line to be substantially better than everybody else. And
Boston.
Boston especially. Goodness, I don't know how I didn't think of that. But it's not super abnormal for that to happen, and as long as we don't rely on that all the time, we're going to be fine, and we don't. This was the only game, I feel like, where it was only the top line and goaltending, and that was it during this run that we've been on. And we'll take that a couple of games, because the rest of the guys, they didn't have their stuff, but they found a way to contribute enough, especially defensively. Our defensive zone
was very good tonight.
Was very,
very good.
So they had a lot of shots, but they were not high danger, I didn't think.
We'll have to go look at Owen's Twitter and see what he says about quality.
I tried to,
chances.
And it wasn't up yet. So
okay, I'm sure he'll put it up later. I think he's on air right now, anyways. So, but anyways, let's get into the obviously the biggest story of the night. Ropa Hintz with his first career hat trick. And I think that's 10 goals in 9 games now, I believe is what it is.
10 goals
before
in 9 games.
Yeah, because before he scored the empty netter, he had 9-9. And I think that's what Josh Bogorod said on Bally Sports. And then now he's got 10 in 9 games. This is the kind of Ropa Hintz that we were expecting to see at the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what I thought. Obviously, I predicted 80 points, so that's obviously at the window already. But I mean, this is what we thought we would see, is Ropa Hintz becoming a superstar. And if he keeps playing like this, and which I see no reason for him to slow down, he's gonna be one of the best players in the league this year, and he's gonna be on the map for MVP. Now, he's been outstanding for 9 games. We'll see if he can keep it up. I think he can, because this is what I expected. So I'm throwing out MVP before anybody else. If he keeps doing it, who knows?
I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up this pace. I mean, if he does, that's fantastic, because that's exactly what the Stars need, because, you know, we don't score goals. But unlike lately, we've actually been scoring goals. We get to 3 goals, we win the game normally. Ropa has just been absolutely fantastic. And just the everything that he seems to do on the ice right now seems to work. He's been playing in all situations. He's a definitely a two-way player, and I think we can thank Bonus for that. Especially he has the offensive prowess himself. Bonus has nothing to do with that, but I think the defensive prowess and, you know, extending that two-way play that he has is a huge benefit for the Stars, because I mean, like I said, he's able to play in all situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think him and Robertson are really similar in a lot of ways, but I think Robertson is a little more defensive-minded, and Roope is a little more offensive-minded, and goodness, Roope Hintz is fast. Like, especially this game, he's just flying up the ice. I think Razor was saying, like, it's like he's on a go route every single time we get the puck. It's just crazy.
Straight up. AJ on YouTube, our first line is just on fire. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they want us this game. That it was only them.
Right, and they've won us a lot of games lately, and I almost put this on Twitter, but I kind of didn't want to because it was a Boston Bruins reference, but I was thinking, like, this is what Boston Bruins fans must feel like all the time with that top line of Pasternak, Marchand, and Bergeron. I mean, dude, if we can have this every game, I would love it. But I hope it continues, and Roope is just doing absolutely fantastic right now. So let's go ahead and get into the goals here real quick tonight, Chris. So first goal of the game, it's a wrist shot from Roope Hintz, his eighth of the year, from Joe Pavelski, who we haven't talked about yet. Absolutely fantastic shot. What did you see there on that play, and what did you think of that goal?
I mean, he kind of scored it the same way that they've been scoring a lot of their goals recently, is it's kind of off the rush. It's a good first shot. It's saved. And then he follows it up and buries it anyway. I mean, and that's what they've been doing a great job of. The first line especially is following their shot and staying on it and not making it a one and done, but getting multiple chances off of a good play.
And we should also point out, like we have, this is the Minutemen, right? So they've been doing this a lot lately. And first it was Joe Pavelski, then it was Roope Hintz, and then it's Roope Hintz again. So and that is such a great way to start off a game, any game, is when you get a goal very early on in the first period. The rest of the first period, it was kind of even on both sides. I felt like we were getting a lot more offensive pressure there in the first period. Anything else about the first period? Not really much I can think of there.
I mean, the first period was the Stars' best period. It was really the only one that we won, I think, and somehow we win the game. So I'll take it.
It just seemed like a lot of the bounces were going our way tonight. It was absolutely. The hockey gods were smiling on us tonight is what it felt like.
Yeah.
So,
and that's how you got to win a game when the majority of your team is not on. But, I mean, we took advantage of it for sure. And the guys that needed to score when we got the opportunities, absolutely did.
Second goal of the game comes in the second period, 14:57 into the second, so very much towards the end of the period. And it was definitely against the flow of play, in my opinion. And obviously, it's Roope Hintz again with his ninth of the year from Pavelski and Robertson again. Just get used to hearing those names in this podcast today. And again, it's a wrist shot, and Roope Hintz puts us up 2-0. In a period that I felt we got way outplayed, but I think Daryl put it the best way in saying that we bent, but we didn't break. So we didn't play great, but we were good enough to make sure that they didn't push back and get a goal in that second period.
Yeah, I mean, we sucked the second period. Like, there's no other way to put it. The big thing was Carolina's forecheck was on us all night long.
Relentless,
we could not get the puck out of our zone.
I wish we had that forecheck.
And we could not move it through the center of the ice either. It was just not good all around for any of that stuff. So the idea of putting in Holtby to try and minimize the forecheck, I don't think worked. But maybe, who knows, maybe it did help. And their forecheck was just that good and we were that bad against it. But going forward, man, we've got to figure out how to move the puck on guys that can really get on us. And that's when we play our best, too, especially if you look at the Colorado game. They were forechecking pretty hard on us, but it was just every pass was just crisp, smooth. Even the short little passes were tape to tape, right out of the zone, straight up the ice. And that's how you're going to make these games easy, because this game was not easy, and somehow we still end up winning it 4-1. We're just on fire right now. But when Ropey starts slowing down and the top line hits some kind of slump, because it's got to happen eventually, right? Then
you would think.
Then we're going to need to be able to move the puck out of our own zone by people other than just the first line.
And, you know, let me jump in on the whole breakout situation, because this is something that I argued about when we were really sucking at the beginning of the season, is just the way that we were breaking out and then the way we were trying to get into the offensive zone. And we've completely 180'd, I feel like, in this particular thing. When you see the breakouts for the Stars right now, they're taking little passes and they're not just trying to go straight up the boards. And they were trying to do that at the beginning of the season, and it was constantly being turned over because it was so predictable. Now, right now, they're taking little passes, you know, not totally going towards the center of the ice, which you obviously don't want to do, but it's just a little, you know, just a creative little play to get it out of your own zone. And the other thing that I'm noticing is that on the flip side, once you break out of your own zone and you go into the offensive zone, we're starting to see the Stars carry the puck more into the offensive zone. And I think that's a huge thing and why the Hintz line is doing so well right now, because they've jumped on that and they've salivated on that, and they're like, okay, we're going to take this and run with it. And especially Hintz has taken that, and he's gone in stride, and Gurianov as well. So we've seen those speed guys be able to take that idea and really push it forward, and I think that's a huge reason why we're seeing so much success out of the Stars over this past, you know, two and a half weeks.
You took the words right out of my mouth. You said the two guys I was going to say. It was Gurianov and Hintz, and they are using their speed. And it feels like every season we have to reteach them that, hey, you're fast. Just skate. They won't stop you. You don't even have to stick handle. So they've relearned that, and they've learned it quicker than they did last season. And you're right. Those guys are carrying it into the zone at will right now. It's not a problem for them, and Hintz is dealing damage with it too. Man, if he can start, I think he needs to keep going too. He needs to carry it past the blue line and then get around the corner like Gurry does more. I think Ropey should do that more, and I think he'll get even more points because he kind of lets some of those go too and just sets up in the zone. But
I mean, there is
don't break it if don't don't break it if it's not broken, or don't fix it if it's not broken. Whatever.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There you go.
That's what it is. Yeah. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from the DraftKings Sportsbook and an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point's been scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets. If you score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years of age or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Well, there were two opportunities in the third period that I was just like, Ropey, shoot the puck! He was going for the hat trick,
right.
And
we're yelling at him to shoot the puck, and he scores 3 goals.
I know.
What a crazy game. How many shots did he even have? Let me look.
That would be really interesting to see.
Yeah, four shots on goal, 3 goals.
That's insane.
That'll make your shooting percentage jump.
What is that percentage? Is that a high? 75%. 75%.
Quick math.
Oh, man. Anyways, we go into the third period. Joe Pavelski gets his 7th of the year from Jason Robertson. There we hear the names again. And it was a weird goal, but hey, you take them as they come, right? And Pavelski is continuing his insanity streak. I think he has 7 points in 3 games now. So we're talking all about Ropey Hansen scoring all this stuff, but Joe Pavelski, at 37 years of age, I believe, has 7 points in 3 games. And I mean, it helps when you play with two young guys, but he's still a huge catalyst on that line.
Yeah.
So
right now, I mean, if he keeps playing this way or even just a little bit worse than this, like after next season, you give him what he wants. Him. Resign him 3 years, $5 million again. I mean, we'll take him till he's 40. We already got one. Might as well double down. So, I mean, what's two 40-year-olds on a hockey team? That should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if he keeps playing like this with Robo and Hintz, I don't want to see him go. I mean, ever since the last season when those were the only three guys that were doing any kind of offense for us whatsoever, and Bonus threw those three guys together, they've clicked. They absolutely clicked. And it's fantastic to watch the Minutemen do their work. And then, unfortunately, later on in the third period, you know, we're basically in turtle mode at this point. I did not like the period that we played, even though we won the game. But if anything was going to go in, the hockey gods were saying no, 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 no. And then finally, Jesperi Kotkaniemi and gets his sixth of the year. And it was just a mad scramble around. He kind of just got pushed underneath Holtby, and it ends the shutout for him, which I was real. Why can't we get a shutout for any of our goaltenders?
I know we can't get any shutouts.
Man.
But that camera angle on that goal, man, that was fun to watch from that camera angle. That was great. I don't know who decided to leave it on that, but good job to whoever that was. But, yeah, very sad. It deserved to go in, honestly. It was a one-timer that went off the bar, like, mm-hmm. It should have gone in the same way our goal should have gone in that went off the bar that did go in. So whatever. We don't need shutouts when we have Sports Center saves. So
yeah, we'll talk about that here at the end too. And then, you know, not even a minute later, Roope scores the empty netter, gets his third of the game and his 10th of the year. He's the first Dallas Stars player to reach double-digit goals this season so far. And that's how the game would end. It would be 4-1, except, oh my gosh, Braden Holtby. That's the first time I have heard a goaltender chant that loud since Marty Turco. I'm not joking. Yeah. Even Kari, when he was at his heyday, did not get a cheer that loud. And I mean, if that doesn't tell you that Braden Holtby needed to get out of Vancouver and go anywhere else, that 10, 5, 6, 7 seconds, whatever it is alone, just tells you how good he's been for the Stars and, you know, how good he was in this game.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't expect us to have him for more than this season, but man, I hope he plays great this season and he goes and gets paid again, because he looks great right now, and it looks like Vancouver really did a disservice to him, especially looking at Vancouver this season, even after a complete retool, and they're just as bad, if not worse, than they were. So, yeah, good on that guy. So that was an awesome save. It's going to be in every top 10 for the rest of the year, at least, maybe within a decade, because that was crazy. Because he goes full across crease, big pad stop, sticks up the leg to get his scorpion, stacks the pads, and grabs it with the glove. Like, the three, like, that's the trifecta of goalie highlights. It's like cross crease, big pad, and then scorpion, and then pad stack. Like, that's crazy. That's awesome.
That was,
and it was
that,
a pad stack with
so
a glove.
So much fun.
That's crazy.
So much fun insane. To watch. And, you know, here's a good question by AJ again, and Bones proved us both wrong tonight in how we were thinking. AJ here on YouTube says, I know everyone was confused about Bones' call and Holtby starting. What were y'all's honest reaction to him being named starting tonight? I was with Matt DeFranks on that when Matt DeFranks posted a quick article before the game started, and he was very confused as to why he was starting over Jake Oettinger when Jake Oettinger's been so good. I don't necessarily agree with Bones in the fact that, you know, his stick handling was that big of an issue, but dude, I don't freaking care. The way that Holtby played tonight, he and Bones made us look stupid, made us look like idiots, because that was absolutely the right decision tonight.
Yeah, my reaction to the decision was it was stupid. I thought the idea that it's because of stick handling was better is at least, like, kind of valid, but not super valid.
Yes,
kind
of valid.
I mean, it worked out. We'll give Bones credit, and we'll say that he has some kind of magic crystal ball now. Maybe that's what he was talking about when he said, we're going to fix it. Maybe he just found a crystal ball.
Or he told his goal.
Because every decision, but every decision he's made since he said that has been perfect. Even when it seems
just,
stupid.
Just about. Just
like, this
about,
seems
yeah.
dumb. Yeah. Like, maybe we got an Angels in the outfield situation going on.
Man, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's the only logical explanation.
It don't make no sense. I was totally confused with the call, but it was obviously the right thing.
It was the right thing to do.
It was absolutely the right
Ali
thing to
Crow.
Do. So, one thing I do wanted to get into, obviously, is we kind of talked about Pavelski a little bit. We also talked about Mr. Roope Hintz, but how about the play of Jason Robertson, who is continuing to very, very quietly, you know, he's on a point per game streak right now, and he's continued that from last season. So what do you think about his play?
Now. He's played 14 games. He has 15 points. Yeah, he's really good. It doesn't look like he's going to have a sophomore slump. That's great. Guess what our 1-2-3 point getters are so far this season?
Well, it's got to be Heiskanen, right? Or am I wrong at this point? It's not anymore? Oh, my gosh.
Number one is Joe Pavelski with 17. Number two is Roope Hintz with 15. Number three, tied with Miro Heiskanen, is Jason Robertson with 15.
Oh, my gosh. That's insane.
That's it.
And that just goes to show you like how much they've been doing lately.
That's the win streak. It's yeah. That's it. It's them, those three. Win streak. Boom. Done.
I mean, 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points, plus 3 overall, 2 power play goals, 4 power play points. He's got 32 shots, and he's got a 15.6 shot percentage right now. So that's – I mean, I have nothing bad to say about that. And then even in the last three games, he's had – against Edmonton, he had a goal. Against Colorado, he had an assist. And then, obviously, tonight, he had the goal and the assist. So, and he's been getting regular ice time from Bones. And I'm kind of glad that he's, you know, arrived. Because we needed some of this young youth in this hockey club. It's, what, second oldest in the league, I think? Maybe the oldest?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, definitely having the young guys in the mix with the old guys, it not only gives me hope for this season, but it gives me hope for the future, too, because I don't know what we would do if we were in an Arizona situation. That does not sound like fun. I don't want to go a whole 2-3 years not even having a chance. But this makes me pretty comfortable that that's not going to happen, as long as Jim Neal is not a complete idiot, which I don't think he is. So when we lose our big guys, we might retool, like they say, but there's no way we go full rebuild because our guys are too good. Even if we just drop everybody and don't pick anybody up, we're still going to be a competitive hockey team. That's how good these young guys are.
Yep. And, you know, just to tell you, Chris, this win tonight puts us 11-7-2, and for the first time this season, we are in an actual playoff spot. Now, given it's a wild card, but – you know,
I'm feeling wild anyway. So,
Wow. I'm extremely happy right now with the way that the Stars team has been playing.
Yeah.
Let me, and it forces
you to remind yourself, like, I know it was in the back of our minds the whole time when we were playing so badly, like, oh, we could go on a win streak. But I mean, when we were really down in the dumps, it was out of our minds. And it's just so easy to turn a season around like that. Like, just, what is it, 7 games, boom. And we don't care at all about what happened. We're back on. Dallas Stars are great. We're going to be in the third round at least. I mean, it's instant. That's how quickly it can change. It was 2-3 weeks that fast. Season completely changed.
So, and, you know, this is interesting. I'm kind of stealing this from my Stars group chat here. But this upcoming month in December is going to be really huge for the Stars. And this
toughest
is
part of our schedule.
It's a really big chance for us to move up because we mostly play Central Division teams almost this entire month.
And we play a lot of games, three back-to-backs in 1 month.
Right. And here's just some – this is just all in a row in December. St. Louis, Chicago, Minnesota, Winnipeg, Chicago, Nashville, Colorado, Colorado. All of those games are in a row. There's no break with Eastern Conference teams or any other Western Conference teams from the Pacific Division. That's just back to back to back to back to back to back to back. So it's great that we're playing amazing now, but it's only going to get harder.
Yeah, so either we picked the perfect time to get good or we did it a little too early. We'll see.
We'll see. And let me pull this up out of my mind, too, because this is something I was complaining about and that I noticed that Bones did that I appreciated. I talked a little bit with James about this. Hi, James. He's listening on the stream. But Tyler Seguin has not been going at all, right?
Rads,
for that matter. Now, I kind of didn't expect it from Rads, mostly because of his age. But Seguin, That's true. Never mind. But I expected more from Tyler Seguin. And tonight, they actually switched out Michael Roffel with Tyler Seguin on that Ben Geary line. So he was trying to get him.
That wasn't the whole night, though. That was only a couple
of times. It was not the whole night. Right. It wasn't the whole night. But, Bones tried. He's trying to get Tyler Seguin to get going. what else do we have to do to get Tyler Seguin going for this team? What do we got to do?
I like what he's doing right now and getting him in whenever he can. But I also think, like, he's just got to force Seguin and Rads to play together because, honestly, there's no other way we're going to get any kind of third-line production because right now the bottom two lines are doing nothing. Like, they're playing well defensively, and Rads has totally changed his mindset and has been great in the defensive zone, especially the past couple of games. He's been very, very noticeable in the defensive zone. So that's been great. But to get something going offensively, I think you got to put those guys together on the same line and say, figure it out, because you can't be any worse than what's happening right now.
What I really noticed out of Alexander Radulov over the past couple of games is, yes, he's not getting any kind of offense like we really kind of need him to, but he's been throwing the body a lot. And I know it only says he's got one hit tonight, but I felt like he was all over the ice, being physical all over.
Yeah. Well,
and he was forcing pucks, getting to turnover and stuff like that. So.
And he's playing great defensively, but he doesn't get paid to be a good defensive forward. So we've got to get him going some way on the offensive side of the puck, or else like he's going to go somewhere else and get paid nothing because we're not going to want him.
All right, so let's try to wrap this up here, Chris. But just game stats for you. The shots on goal definitely did not tell the story of the game. You had to watch the game to understand
that this was a really
– well, it was a really good game for the Stars, even though that we got completely outshot 2.5-1. So the shots on goal –
we got outplayed for the most part too.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true. So it does kind of tell the story, but we did play well enough defensively in this game. It was 40-17 shots on goal in favor of Carolina. Faceoff percentage, and let me pull this comment up from James that I remember. We are first in the league on the dot now, and that's exactly what we expected. We both talked about. You said top three. I said at least top five. So we've both been right, and they've actually exceeded my expectations as to where they should be in the dot.
And with the faceoff guys we have. That's what we should be.
Should be expecting, yeah.
So even though, like, it's great that we're first and woohoo, we should celebrate, like, we honestly shouldn't. Like,
we
should be there.
The only, you know, looking at the power play, I didn't really notice any good power play movement from the Stars tonight. It wasn't really there, which is okay considering the score of the game and how the game went. But I hope that's not cooling down.
Yeah, we talked about it. We didn't have a great game overall. One line played good. That was good enough. We'll get out of here. I don't think any team plays five great games in a row, and we had played four until this point. So I'm happy with playing a bad game and finding a way to win. So,
other stats for you tonight: 0-for-2 on the power play for the Stars, like we said. 0-for-3 for Carolina. So our penalty kill is still starting to heat up and getting better, which is very good. Hits for the Stars they're in favor of us, 25-18. Block shots, 17-11 in our favor. This is not a good stat that's in our favor, but 20-10 in giveaways for the Stars, which I guess you could kind of see, you could kind of say that, but I thought it was more even than that, but I guess I was wrong about that.
No.
And then the takeaways were in favor of the Stars, 9-3. Shots on goal in the period, 13-7 in favor of Carolina, 10-5 in the second in favor of Carolina, 17-5 in favor of Carolina in the third, and like we said, 40-17 in shots. Yes. So, anyways, Chris, anything else we got to mention before we say night-night?
We'll take the dubs any way we can get them.
Yep. What's the next game? I don't even know. We don't have James.
I don't know. Tell us. James isn't here. It's on Thursday. It's against. Who's it against? James, who's it against? James, tell us. Oh, no.
Is he going to beat you, too?
It's against the Columbus Blue Jackets at 8:30 Central Time.
8:30? Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
it's in Columbus. They're Eastern Time, I think.
Yeah, but that would be 9:30 Eastern.
Oh, no. This is 8:30 Eastern Time. Whoops. I'm on the website, not my app.
Okay. All right. There we go. That makes a little bit more sense. I was like, dang, that's a 9:30
7:30 Central.
7:30 Central. Okay. All right. Along with Chris, I'm Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the next AGR on Thursday, and we will see you guys then. Make sure you follow us on all our social media accounts. You can follow my personal one, StarsBoy12. Follow Chris at ChrisCham2B, and also follow us on Twitter, StarcasticR, and also on Instagram, Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, all that jazz. Thank you guys once again for tuning in, wherever you're listening, whether it be now when you're doing it live or later when you're listening on the podcast side. You guys have a fantastic evening, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
Stars win. Good night.